There are a couple of dream poems in the book. There's one near the end about two of your friends, and there's also a husband dream poem. And husbands and dreams are kind of the themes of the book. You have a whole husband suite as a section, but then you have at least a couple of references to dreams in the poems. Could you talk a little bit about your process of harvesting dreams for your poem work? Do you do that?
Yeah, I do that. Sometimes the most intense images come in dreams, and I want to use those images as wonderful metaphors. And sometimes I say it's a dream, comes from a dream. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just, you know, take the image whole and use it as a metaphor. Dreams are important to me. You know, it's a way to the subconscious, a way to the depth, the very depth. And of course, as poets, we're always trying to get to the deeper, trying to get underneath this conscious mind and maybe shut off the conscious mind and let the depth come through. And whether the depth is coming through strictly from your psyche or coming from elsewhere is a question that poets always toss back and forth. Jack Spicer said it was coming from Martians, his poems. Others have had other ideas. But yeah, dreams are one way to get shut off the conscious mind and get to the depth.
So Spicer says Mars, and you say other places. What are some of your theories as to where those come from?
Well, other poets have said their poems are dictated. Right now I'm forgetting who says.
Well, Spicer was the one who talked about dictation, and others have talked about dictation.
Others have talked about
dictation. Blazer talks about the practice of outside. And
Yeah. And you do, you just want to get beyond the everyday. It's I don't do formal meditation, but I understand that's what people are trying to get to in formal meditation. Shut off the chattering monkey mind and get to this lower level, this soul level. And I always do believe that poetry is soul making, and that we're actually fashioning our soul and the depth of it as we're writing the poem.
Page 60, Husband's Dream.
Okay.
Another epigraph.
Oh. Page 60. You would like to hear that one. The Husband's Dream. The epigraph is from Emily Dickinson. We dream. It is good we are dreaming. It would hurt were we awake.
Classic.
Yeah. Last night I had both husbands, one in a travel trailer and one in an empty swimming pool where I was mucking out deep mud at the bottom. With the travel trailer husband, I was getting a cabin ready to close for the winter, both of us turning things off for the coming cold. With the swimming pool husband, my mother was there too, cooking a Thanksgiving turkey, deep mud at the bottom, closed for the winter. A stage stood at one end of the pool where I was planning a theater for deaf children come spring, which didn't come. The jumble of husbands, one in a travel trailer, children in an empty swimming pool, rattled around my head, lurching up against the force of history, stumbling over its own mysteries, trying to birth itself in a blood soup of phonemes in a murky pool. What does it mean? I asked my mother, but I couldn't hear her answer from the travel trailer. I was driving in reverse on a narrow road with such dense foliage it kept scratching the car. Night so dark, the rearview mirror couldn't find light to reflect. I had to hang my head out the window to see where I'd been, driving backward. I couldn't hear my mother, and the foliage kept smacking me in the face. The husbands had disappeared by then and couldn't help. stumbling over their own mysteries. The theater for deaf children didn't come in the spring. I had to hang my head.
A Freudian would have a field day with that. I mean, you know, the notion that the unconscious is there and you're digging around in it and it's muddy and yeah.
Yeah, and that poem was pretty much the way it was, the way the dream is. Others I, you know, changed some, but that one was pretty much the dream.
We get more of your husband, your own mythology and your experience with the opposite gender in Yellow Tulips, which I think is just wonderful. And we're not on the radio, and you know, you printed it, so you must want to read it. Sure. I don't know.
Sure, why not? What page is it?
It's page 65.
Sure. I don't think I've ever read it aloud, but...
I was wondering, because, you know, as I'm reading the book, I'm seeing so many familiar poems from your reading out the last 5 years. And then I thought, here's one I haven't heard before.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a couple of them. In fact, I think the detainee's poem was another one.
Yeah, and I tend to read the ones I just feel more solid with. But so I'm interested at the ones you're picking and glad. Yeah. Okay. So, Yellow Tulips. Sunday morning sun flaring through my kitchen window. Sun-struck tulips on my breakfast table have spread themselves wide open, showing everything they've got inside, which they've kept hidden for days. He does a dramatic double take, turning from scrambled eggs on a white plate, and asks their sun-splashed loveliness, "You girls from Texas?" in a smoky singles bar kind of voice. I remember what he said last night, bobbing in the boat of my tangled bed. A man could kill over a cunt, but he can die for a pussy. Isn't that a great line?
Oh, it's absolutely classic, and it's
not my line either. Yeah, but it's great.
Yeah. Well,
I had to use it.
It is your line because you're the one who put it down.
Yeah,
and, you know, you're quoting him, but we get that. But it.